Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Susan, how are you doing?
Hey, Lois, how are you doing?
Good. So glad to talk to you today. This is going to be a great topic and one that I'm going to send out to a lot of personal friends because I think they could use it. So let's get right to it. What do you mean when you say use your words in regard to a relationship or relationships? I thought that was very profound.
So we say to our children all the time, use your words when they can't express what they want or they're frustrated in an activity or an action of yours or theirs. As adults, we need to better use our words. And that is in regard, has probably come to an apex because of texting and emailing, where yes, we're using words, but we're not verbal. As a society, we're losing that capability of communication through verbal skills. And I will say that oftentimes we heard stories about our parents or our grandparents, you know, they didn't talk about those things. Those things were taboo. But we talk about everything now. And if we don't talk about it, we stream it, we watch it, we sing it. So it's time that we use our words with each other, particularly after 50, when you can say what you want and make it known what you want, how you want it, and what your questions are. So I think we need to use our words socially, financially with partners. We need to use our words with our friends. And yes, we need to use our words sexually in relationships.
So can you give me a few case studies of what you mean? Because I want everyone to understand, you know, are we talking about cursing somebody out? Are you talking about being explicit about something? Are you talking about truthfulness versus falsehood? What do you mean?
I mean that you can better build a relationship when you talk. So it can be about sharing experiences, sharing interests, sharing concerns. You know, that whole idea we had before about what happens financially with a couple when they commit to each other and they don't marry. If you put this out on the table and you say, dear, you know, we've been living together 20 years and we're in our early 80s now. And I just want you to know that if something happens to me first, the condominium is yours until something happens to you. Why look for problems after the fact? You know, there's always that chicken's way out. I'm going to put it in my will and I'm not around to hear the answers. Well, that's not fair. We need to set boundaries and guidelines and goals with each other verbally so that there aren't any questions and no one's living in this veil of what if, what if, what if. That's a very tenuous way to live when you're in your 60s or 70s. Not really necessary. So with using your words verbally and having discussions comes being a good listener as well. And that's really, really important. And that you actually listen and respond to someone and not just hear them. Because that's frustrating for the person that's trying to communicate as well.
So you're talking about this. So obviously, this is something that has bothered you for a while. And I have to say the same thing for myself. So what is it that's going around that people are not verbalizing properly?
To tell you the truth, it's not bothering me. It's something that I realized is so successful in relationships. When you talk. Yeah, it's the opposite. I think that I can attribute success in relationships to talking to my partner. Even arguments usually come out the other side with a learning experience for both of us. And I think that that's a really positive point. No one's in the argument to be vicious. I mean, sometimes it's a mood one's in or it's a nerve one hits. But you can often find some sort of intimacy after the discussion. And then I will wrap that up with, don't have the argument via text. Don't have the argument via email. Talk to each other. And I think that's really, really important.
Do you think a lot of people are hiding behind texting today?
Beyond. It's so much easier to say the things that you would never say in person by just writing it and sending it. And then it's so misconstrued. You see one attitude, the person didn't have that attitude. All these silly emojis come up to try to soften what you're saying or reinforce what you're saying. And there's so many missteps in it. It's a ridiculous way to communicate anything that's important or deep or emotional.
People will tell you that they do that because they're trying to save time. It's quicker. What is your response to that?
Is everybody so busy and so important?
Well, I think they are.
Do they? Or again, is this just a mask? I once sent a breakup text. And it was beautifully crafted. Look, I'm a writer. It was beautiful. It was so wrong. How did I do that? You know, I didn't want to face the person. I didn't want to get the rebuttal. I just wanted to get it out. And I'm like, what was I thinking? That's not fair. It's not dignified. It's not respectful. It's not the way to communicate. We need to talk things through. Talk through finances. Talk through friends. You're introducing each other to each other's friends. Do you like them? Do you not like them? And if you don't have to be with them. You can let your partner see them when you're not around. You don't have to suffer through it and then that causes an argument or that causes discourse. Choose your words. Talk about it.
Well,
it's just so much more successful.
You know, you hit on a excellent point. Most people want to avoid topics. You know, they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to feel icky. They don't want to feel like that they're in a negative atmosphere. I notice that in business and I notice that in personal. People want to avoid any kind of a conflict because maybe they're just not secure in their side of their opinion or they just don't, they think that you're a stronger person. So they don't want to have to face that. But that happens all the time.
So how much time do you spend backpedaling? Because what you typed is not what they thought you meant.
Oh, that happened.
What you wrote.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you picked up the phone, I had a situation the other day. It was really cute. I got invited to a wedding of a friend of my son's. And you know, I lost my son. And I got invited to her wedding. And she's been married a year. And she has a one-year-old. And she invited me with a guest, which I thought was really kind. We've been in touch, but not intimately in touch. I thought that was so kind of her. So it was an invite. I mentioned back, I would love to join you for the ceremony and for cocktails, but I don't have the bandwidth to stay for the party. I think it would be a little bit too painful with all my son's friends there, etc. She was so wonderful. Instead of typing me back or sending me a text, she picked up the phone. And when she picked up the phone, she was laughing. She said, there is no ceremony. We have a one-year-old. This is actually just using up a credit at a venue that I had from pre-COVID. We're throwing a party. Love to have you come and have a drink with us. I felt so good about it. I was so happy it was a conversation. It was, we laughed together. I understand the parameters. She made me feel comfortable. It was perfection. And it's the perfect example of why you pick up the phone and speak to someone instead of going back and forth. Because in the Evite, I thought she was getting married again. And that would be really silly.
That's amazing. Yeah, right. Well, they're great misinterpretations. You know,
here's a 30-something-year-old who I think is mature beyond her years, and she had the wherewithal to understand my sensitive issue, and instead of this back and forth, picked up the phone and made me feel completely at ease and chuckled at her own situation, and I can't wait to go now. So what a perfect way for this to happen.
Right. Well, she's special. And what she did was she built up a scenario that made you totally comfortable. So no matter what happens, you're going to feel very supportive being there. And you're going to feel her love back to your support. So I think
I already
wonderful.
Have.
Yeah.
And no anticipation. So this is in July. So I don't have to worry about it every week. Oh, my goodness. How am I going to exit? Is this going to be uncomfortable? Do I have to admit that I can't stay because it's too painful?
Right.
I don't have to do any of that anymore. And that was because she had the wherewithal and the maturity to pick up the phone and talk to me. And I just love that. And I love that in relationships. If you hear something in your companion, husband, plus one, date's voice, say it. Wow, you sound off today. Or is something bothering you? Or, wow, I didn't deserve that. Instead of the texting and listening to an attitude, say it. Because once you diffuse someone and they say, you know what, I am having a tough day. It was, you know, the anniversary of my marriage, or it was the day I got divorced, or my kids were really rough on me today. And that opens up a whole dialogue. Instead of guessing and then getting angry because you don't know the real reason, talk, use your words. It makes it so much better. And then I'm going to take that into the bedroom, where here you are, a mature adult now, and you know, you're looking past the youth and the, you know, the shiny penny that we were all looking for. Say what you like. Say what works for you. Say what doesn't work for you. It will make it so much easier and more enjoyable.
You know, as you were speaking, I was listening very carefully for you, and I was playing back things that happened in my life. I think a lot of people don't say certain things because they're afraid of the outcome.
You know, there's an exploration.
Well, let me give you one. I was married for the first time, and his parting words to me was, "Lois leaves nothing unsaid." Now, what he meant by that was, there was a number of times, more times than probably not, that I opened up my big mouth and I just blurted out whatever I was feeling, and that was unfair as far as he was concerned. I thought it was wonderful, but you know, I'm sure if we went back and listened to some of those recordings, you would say, Lois, you know, I didn't use good judgment, or I could have.
But that's a different animal, Lois.
I could have, yeah, that, right.
Yeah. That speaks to, are there too many words? Can there be too much conversation? I'm not talking about impetuous talking or blurting things out, because I honestly believe when you're faced with a dilemma like that, the one thing I learned not just a few years ago was take a breath. Take a breath. Right. And every question doesn't need an answer on the spot. Maybe you want to say to someone, wow, let me think about that. Or, I'll get back to you on that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's almost like the text. Someone texts you something and you're incensed. So you fire back an answer. The best,
right.
And we know it is. You can write that answer. Don't send it. Write that email. Don't put an address at the top. We know that's the correct thing to do. Read it again when you wake up in the morning, because it's going to read completely differently. And we all do that. You know, when you read, your mind skips words and skims. It doesn't always read every word. If you go back and read it again in a few hours, you're going to get a completely different take on it. So we know in every part of our society, we need to slow down and take a breath. So, right, I'm not into blurting out, you know, screaming from the rooftops, impetuous answers. You can always say, let me think about that. That's an interesting point. Or let's not talk right now. Let's come back to this and hang up. Not cruelly, but hang up. That being said, put that aside. Put too much talking, impetuous speaking to the side. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thoughtfully using your vocabulary, looking somebody in the eye, and having the conversation.
Okay, let's
That's
have a conversation about how this applies to sex over 50. What can you tell
okay.
us?
Okay. So, you know, as I said before, when you're young and you're all shiny pennies and everything works perfectly and the biology is really good, you can pretty much wing it. You know, it is what it is. But we know as adults age that organs age, all organs age, you know, menopause for women, menopause for men. And there are ways of intimacy, not just sexual connection, intimacy that can make you feel closer and more attached to your partner. And sometimes that means, do you like this? Or I like this better. Or this works for me. It's not all cues. It doesn't have to all be taken from sexual cues. It's the intimacy of maybe just holding someone's hand or stroking someone's arm or kissing someone. That you know, lips work, you know, no question about that. They don't age so much. And it's telling them what you want. And in back saying, did you enjoy that? Does this work for you? And then it becomes, for lack of a better word, habit or part of your repertoire that satisfies both of you. And that makes for a much better relationship. You also both have baggage. You know, you've come from longer relationships, divorce or deceased, and you old habits die hard. So your partner was doing what the old partner wanted, or they thought that she wanted, he wanted. So you need to learn new cues and new ideas. It's new ground. Tell them what you like. Tell them what works. Be responsive. That will make things much more satisfying and reasonable and makes you both intimate, sharing and intimacy. And that's a really nice thing. It can almost also be, you know, can I get you a glass of water? You know, do you need something? Are you okay? All right. Those things create an intimacy that words need to say. So you know, when your partner gets up in the middle of the night, say, everything okay? That's kind. And when they get back to bed, put your arm around them. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything more than that. Just show them that you care. And with that, the words that you care.
So what is the reaction of partners when that happens? I mean, are people used to that, or do they react well to
it? No, I don't think people are used to it. I don't think that people are used to it.
Oh, I didn't expect that kind of an answer at all. Wow, that's a
no. I don't think the people that you come from, I don't think the people that join after having long-term relationships are used to that communication. And I think that it works really well. And I think that it creates, again, I'm not going to use just sexual connection, but an intimacy that joins you as whole people. And I think that's really important because you have to be respected as a whole person, your mind, your body, your soul. And I think that that kind of intimacy of speaking to each other and recognizing, you know, old habits die hard. This is what you used to do. This is what I used to do. This is what I like. This is what I like. Makes it much more intimate and much better connected. And no, I think that it's new. And I think that people are taken by surprise when you speak. Look, I don't believe in a 4-hour postmortem after every sexual encounter. You don't need to break it down like Monday morning football. But, you know, did this work for you? Was that good? You know, how is that? It does work.
Do you think people get embarrassed by that?
Some people do, yes. Those are people that get embarrassed anyway. Yes, some people just would like to have the lights out and, you know, have sexual relations with their clothes on. Yes.
Right.
And I can't change that. And I can only recommend that you try to be more communicative with your partner, because it will only serve you well and serve him well, or, you know, vice versa. Yes. And no, I don't think it's a common practice. And I think it's something you can institute at this stage of the game, because there are some stumbling blocks. There's some barriers having to do with aging bodies. So you might as well address it and say, you know, there are alternatives, and say what you like and what you don't like, and go for what makes you both happy. It will make for a better relationship, as opposed to dread or not feeling fulfilled and frustration. Those aren't good emotions, and they're not good emotions in bed.
So Susan, this is the battle of the sexes. I think just from knowing men that most men don't like to communicate like that. You probably have encountered very intelligent men that are very secure about themselves and are willing to have any kind of a conversation or any kind of a challenge. But I would say, knowing the men that I know, and I'm not talking about my husband because he's very different than most men, that, you know, they, you know, action, you know, why do we have to talk about these kind of things? Or I'm not even talking about a major conversation. I don't know. I just feel like that a lot of people just want it to be like a silent situation. I don't even know if I'm
right. I don't agree.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you don't agree.
People,
go ahead.
I don't. Yeah. I think that most people who are dating are alone. Kind of hoping that's the case, as opposed to cheating on a spouse.
Right.
And particularly men who are alone, men, in my opinion, seem to have less developed and evolved relationships with friends. So they often don't have those people to speak to pour out their feelings. Women seem to be able to emote better. It's my impression. So a lot of times men really need to talk. They need to talk about their loss. They need to talk about their business. They need to talk about their finances. They need to talk about politics. They need to talk.
No,
so
I was talking basically about the sexual part of the relationship.
Well, I think that one thing rolls into another. Oh, I don't know. I would, if I had to guess, and this is really blind because I haven't done any sort of study or poll on this, I'm going to guess that men are more communicative in bed than women are.
Maybe this is an after 60 thing, and I just haven't experienced
mm-hmm.
it.
But also remember, you know, men enter the world of Cialis and Viagra and AIDS, that men are not feeling inadequate. And I think that men are more communicative in bed. I do. I think that they are more apt to say what they want and how they want it than women are. And that, I think, is just sociological, that we're always supposed to be the ones that are demure and give. And I think that men are more communicative. I do. And I also think, as I said, because men aren't communicating all the time like women are, that they're grateful for the communication and that they carry that over into the bedroom. I think that men are more communicative in bed. I do. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Is there too many words that could be spoken? Is that a problem?
Well, that's what we talked about. Blurting out, you know, postmortems for 3 hours. Yeah, those are all too many words. But I think that on a 100% scale, that's a 10%. So I don't think, I err on the side of too many words as opposed to no communication.
Right. So how does texting fit into all of this?
Texting or sexting?
Sexting.
Sexting. I had a feeling you wanted to go there.
Yeah.
I think that's personal preference. I think it happens when couples are apart. I think that it's really healthy. People should know that they can hide things on their cell phones, like pictures and videos, and that you can delete pictures and videos. Good to know. I think that's the couple's relationship, how much they want to send pictures, how much they want to talk about it, how verbal they are. You know, some people are great storytellers and can weave this whole tale that's amusing. Some people are completely embarrassed by it. Here's a place, though, that gives you a tool to say things that you wouldn't normally say verbally. So I guess I can endorse that, where you can type things that you might not say that are provocative or interesting. You know, I said early on, or I wrote about it, that when you're in online dating, men who are interested in sex, women who are interested in sex, get that across non-verbally in comments, double entendres, statements, pictures. So sexting can be a healthy part of a relationship. It can work.
But is it safe, really? I mean, I would be very cautious about it. Not
as
knowing
I said,
where...
you can hide videos and pictures on your phone. They don't have to show up on your camera reel, if people didn't know that. And also, they can be deleted. You can delete a text.
Yeah, but if you send something out, you have to trust that other person knows how to preserve that.
That's a real... You also have to trust that if you aren't together anymore, it won't go anywhere.
Right.
Yes,
that's,
you do.
That's
yes,
a big,
you do.
That's
and
a
that,
big step, yeah.
That's a big leap of faith. Yes, it is. And that is something that I don't think you ever know till you know. Yes, that is, you know, something I never really thought about, but it is a very true idea that you have to hope, if this isn't a forever relationship, that no one's going to turn that on you. I think that's just faith and maybe stupidity on my part, you know. But yes, once it is sent and once it is documented, it's there. Yes, you're right.
So one of the last things I want to ask you, because I think everybody is talking about this, but nobody knows the answer, is what is the future of dating with texting and social media and relationships? What's going on in this world of so much information?
Yeah, it's not going away, that's for sure. And with Mr. Musk putting everybody back on Twitter, it's certainly not going away.
Yeah.
I think we have to learn to live with it, and I think we have to learn to strike a balance. How our balance is struck. That's so individual. You know, you have to be a willing partner and a willing subject to change, to stop the texting and move to talking. You know, I also mentioned earlier that in the app process, eventually someone says, let's move to a phone call. Some
right.
people faster than others. Isn't that interesting? Our demographic, more so than the younger demographic, they don't do that. They text until they meet. our demographic tends to say, let's move to a phone call. And oftentimes, let's move to FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not often done with the younger. Yeah. And that's smart. You know, seeing that makes it less of a blind date as that, you know, air quoted blind date, because now you know what the person looks like and you hear their voice and you hear, you know, everything about them. So I think our demographic is a little better at that, because it seems to be the norm of we go from the app to texting to let's move to a phone call. We do. Where that will lead people younger than you and I, probably not into a verbal world. It will not. It will not. Which is unfortunate.
You know what? We have to do a whole different podcast about FaceTime, you know, pre-meeting. Because as you said that, I got so scared because, you know, on FaceTime, my face looks one way, my chicken neck, you know, is hanging lower. But if you see me, not lower, but if you see me in person, like my hands are waving and doing other things, so you're not concentrating on that chicken neck. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine how you all deal.
There's ways to get rid of that, Lois. You know that.
Oh, my. I just don't know how everybody does this FaceTime before actually meeting someone. Because even on FaceTime, if you're not really seeing the person until they walk through that door. You know,
but it's healthier,
imagine.
I think. I think it's healthier than big surprise. Yes, oftentimes in online dating, the pictures are not accurate and they're old and they've been filtered.
Yeah.
At least when you FaceTime, you have some sort of idea as opposed to jumping into it blind. You know, I think there's nothing worse than, you know, meeting someone in a restaurant and being horrified that they look absolutely nothing like what they presented. You know, nothing like they probably put their daughter in the picture as opposed to themselves. So I think that that's a natural progression and it works really well. You know, take the steps from the app to the texting to the FaceTime to the meet. I think that's a really good progression. And I think it should be explored even more.
I want to definitely do another I want to do another podcast.
You use your words.
Yeah. I want to do another podcast about that because, you know, use your words. You could do that on FaceTime too. But really, I mean, seeing somebody from the neck up and not seeing their rear end is a very big difference. I can't imagine.
Why do I feel you're sensitive there, Lois?
I have a girlfriend who is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And until the Kardashians came about, her rear end was like the size of the United States. And men would fall in love with her. And then the other part of her would come in through the door, and it was a shock. Now it's like the rage. But
she's
you know, Chris Rock used to say about J-Lo, you know, she showed up at this party with two limos, one for her and one for her rear end. I mean, when I first heard that, I thought it was hysterical. I know that you don't.
And it's
like
Vogue
it.
Now, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally is. So anyway, I think we covered everything that we were going to use. We went a little long on this one, but I think it was very important.
I think it's
people.
All about balance, Lois. I really do. I think it's about balance and understanding that as humans, we communicate best by talking, and that we need to share what we feel on all levels, social, as I said, social, financial, sexual. We need to get out there and talk it through and listen to each other, not just hear, listen to each other.
That's great advice. Thank you very, very much. I will have to
My
try
pleasure,
to do
Lois.
That myself. Okay.
Come
we'll
on. That's
you.
What you do.
We'll see you next time. Thank you, Susan.
Bye, Lois.